Welcome to a brand new edition of the Pouncecast. My name is Matt Menzel. Our guest this month, former Panther baseball infielder, current member of the Toronto Blue Jays organization, that being Trevor Sweatke. Trevor, thanks a lot for your time.
Absolutely. Thank you guys for having me on.
I want to start from the beginning. You're a Marshfield, Wisconsin native. Obviously, you played baseball growing up, but did you play other sports growing up?
Yeah, you know, growing up, baseball was definitely the main priority in our household. I know my brother and I played, you know, competitively from the age of, you know, probably 5 or 6 growing up. I actually played football growing up until I was about, I want to say 7th or 8th grade. And then I gave that a quit, and I played basketball up until the end of high school. So kind of a multiverse athlete. Really enjoyed playing other sports, you know, recreational hobbies like, you know, tennis and pickleball and, you know, golfing was another big thing in our household. So pretty athletic family and a lot of priority on sports growing up.
Of course, by high school, I mean, the accolades come your direction when it came to baseball at Marshfield. You were a 3-time all-conference performer, hit .424 your senior year. What are your memories playing for the Tigers?
Yeah, you know, God, that feels like, you know, about a decade ago, which it almost was. But, yeah, you know, Marshfield's a great program and a great city to grow up into. You know, very, very high emphasis on, you know, academics as well as athletics. You know, I think now they're starting to get a lot nicer facilities, starting to get some donors to, you know, take care of the program and the athletic program. And, you know, growing up, having the role models of, you know, playing with Dalton Varsho and then a couple other guys that were, you know, just being behind my brother as well, kind of let him show me the ropes too. It was a great experience growing up, just because, you know, Marshall, like I said, with the great academics as well as athletics, you kind of get best of both worlds there, and I think it really prepared me, you know, to get into UW-Milwaukee and playing Division I baseball. So I would say, like I said, you know, with a great program as well as some role models going through high school, it was a very good fit and it was a very good experience for me.
Now, following your sophomore year in high school, you were named the most improved player on your team. When you think back to at least those final 3 years at the prep level, how do you feel like you grew as a baseball player? How did you improve as a baseball player?
Yeah, you know, coming in, I believe freshman year of high school, I didn't make, I don't even know if I made JV, honestly. I definitely didn't make varsity, the baseball squad. And like I said, there was, Varsho's class had some studs in it. So I knew that, you know, the chances of me making varsity my sophomore year was still slim to begin with. But just kind of, you know, especially when you're the young guy, you know, coming into a high school program, like I said, this feels like so long ago, but you definitely have, you know, that anxiety and that worry that you don't want to, you know, wrong anybody. You don't want to step into, you know, you still want to put the right foot forward, but you don't want to overstep the boundaries, if that makes sense. So, you know, like I said, having, you know, my brother was a senior and I was a freshman, and just hearing him talk about varsity level baseball, and then also, you know, I was pretty close with, you know, Varsho and a couple other guys in his class, so that, you know, made me fit in a little bit easier. But, you know, just kind of, I think at that early age, you know, I always thought, you know, I'm just going to outwork the guy that's in front of me, and I think that's going to present more opportunities to me. So, you know, with that mindset, and then, like I said, you know, the guys in front of me that I knew pretty well, I think that's kind of how I started to progress throughout my high school career.
You know, speaking of mindset, by your senior year, obviously, for most high school students, you start thinking college, or you have college, you know, figured out at that point. How about for you? You obviously had a great deal of success academically, but when it came to baseball, was college baseball, did that enter the mind? Was it always on the mind that that could be a potential?
Yeah, you know, looking back, you know, I never envisioned myself as a Division I player. You know, I played, you know, Legion baseball growing up. Nowadays, you know, you're not paying tens of thousands of dollars to play travel ball. You're not going to get the right chance to get looked at by, you know, SEC, ACC talent. So I knew playing Legion baseball that my chances were already a little bit slimmer, you know, getting to the Division I level, maybe to the Division II level. Like I said, I had some connections in high school, you know, with Varsho, with my coach, John Southworth. And, you know, they had contact with other college coaches, but I essentially had it narrowed down by the end of my senior year to either UW Lacrosse or St. Norbert College. And, you know, I shifted my priorities, rightfully so, towards academics, and I knew that at St. Norbert's I was going to get, you know, I was going to get a good scholarship. I was going to have a lot of my credits transfer over from high school, and I knew that, you know, with close proximity to where my dad lived, it was just the perfect fit for me. You know, really good facilities, a really good program, really beautiful area, and then also being able to stay home and, you know, play close to my family is something I place a lot of priority in. So as I got into the summer leading up to, you know, to get to I think it was about midway through Legion baseball in the summer, and, you know, I get a text from Scott Duffick, the head coach at UW-Milwaukee, and he says, says, "Hey, Trevor, you know, this is Scott. I got to talk to you by Gary Varsho. You know, I know absolutely nothing about you. I'd love to come out and watch you play. You know, are you guys going to be in Plover this weekend?" I think it was a couple of weeks later that I ended up playing in Plover. And, you know, Duffy came out with, I think Bigler was actually with them the first time they came and saw me play, but they came and watched me play. And ironically enough, I ended up pitching, I think, like two or three innings at this Legion game in Plover. And so I didn't give Duffy much to look at from a defensive standpoint, but, you know, I put together some good at bats. And I remember to this day him telling me after that game, he goes, "You know, I didn't get a great look at who you are as an overall player, but man, you did some pure baseball instinctual stuff on the mound. I think there was a runner on first. I threw the ball, this guy laid a bunt down. I slid right next to home, picked it up, and threw it from like a submarine angle to second base." And he said, "Man, I think we got a chance here with some, you know, some just true instincts." And so there was a little bit more thought that went into that whole process of, you know, how much do I want to take a chance on myself to go and walk on at a Division I university versus having, you know, a secured spot, probably a legitimate chance to play my freshman year at a Division III school. And like I said, in the back of my mind, professional baseball was, you know, a life, like, there was never even a thought in my mind. You know, I see all these guys and I'm like, there's just no way that's going to be me. I'm a really good Wisconsin baseball player. You know, I think I have a chance to be a really good Division III baseball player. And I talked with a lot of guys that I really valued their opinion on this. You know, my strength coach from high school, Scott Shoyer, as well as, you know, Gary Varsho and Dalton. And at the end of the day, I pretty much said to myself, I don't want to go through this whole process with any regrets. I want to take a chance on myself. And I know that with my drive, my work ethic, and, you know, the talent that's slightly below average coming to the Division I level, I think, you know, the intangibles will allow me, you know, pretty much to outweigh the talent level. So I knew that, you know, with the baseball instinct and then my work ethic, I knew I had a chance to play at the Division I level.
So you take that chance on yourself. Now, going into your freshman year, you're at Milwaukee. What expectations did you have for that first collegiate season?
Going in the fall, I think my biggest expectation was to just not get cut in the first couple months playing at UW-Milwaukee. I actually got in there and, you know, my first meeting with Delphic and Cole Kraft, who was the assistant coach at the time, they said, "Hey, we don't really have a spot right now." He said, the chance that you have a play next year is if you want to get behind the plate." And I said, I'll do whatever I need to get playing time. So here I am, a freshman in college with a brand new set of Adidas catching gear, never having caught an inning in my entire life, having Duffick absolutely abuse me behind the plate, throwing Jake Summers, Adam Roos, Alex Fisher, all these guys with funky deliveries and high velocity. I think I probably felt like I broke my thumb about 10 times catching these guys' bullpens. And, you know, I'm sure Duffick and Kraft were sitting in the corner laughing at me because they knew that, you know, this was the trial and error experiment that they had going on. So that was about 2 months of me doing that. And then I remember finally being like, I'm taking reps in the infield. Like, I'm just going to go out there, play some shortstop, show what I can do. And it took about a couple of weeks for Duffy to be like, all right, we got a chance with this kid in the middle of the infield somewhere, or maybe in the corners. So threw the catching gear away, gave it back to him, pretty much said not doing that anymore. But, yeah, you know, the expectations were very low my freshman year at UW-Milwaukee. I knew that, obviously, a freshman, a walk-on, you know, got the last spot on the roster coming in. I didn't want to sell myself short, but I didn't want to have, you know, too high of expectations to get crushed because I knew that my chances of getting legitimate playing time my freshman year weren't that high.
For you, was that a tough adjustment? So you're making, at least when the season starts, a spot start here and there, for the most part primarily being used as a pinch hitter or a pinch runner. Eventually, you do crack the starting lineup thanks to a variety of reasons, but at least initially, was that a tough adjustment going from being like a top dog at your high school team to now kind of just trying to fit in?
Yeah, absolutely. It killed me. You know, you're sitting on the bench watching these games go by thinking, you know, selfishly, you're watching guys play and you're saying, man, I can do better than that. I can contribute better than this guy can. And it's, you know, it is a duality of thinking, like, you know, sitting on the bench thinking, you know, I can do this better. And then when you actually get in the box and, you know, maybe you're struggling, you're thinking, God, there's somebody else that's waiting to take my spot. So, like I said, I'm sitting on the bench thinking that I can contribute in a way to this team to help it win. And, but at the end of the day, you know, I believe there's opportunity in every experience that you have. So when I'm there on the bench, I'm watching some guys or I'm doing some charts on my own of what's happening during the game. And I'm thinking, you know, how can I best prepare myself to be ready for an opportunity that might come my way? I think the first start I got, I think, was against Eastern Michigan, if I'm not mistaken, down in Port Charlotte. I think I got a couple hits in that game. And I just remember, you know, getting on that field, just, you know, shaking, heart racing, having no idea what was going on, just thinking like, oh my God, you know, this is Division I baseball. And now that I look back, you know, playing 5 or 6 years in pro ball, I'm like, man, that was the easiest time of my life. Now I'm playing, you know, in front of 30 scouts, in front of the top prospects in baseball. And it's still the same game that we've played our whole lives, but, you know, it's funny what hindsight can do to you. You know, looking back now, I'm like, man, that was, you know, the easiest version of the game that I remember playing was, you know, mid-major UW-Milwaukee baseball in 2019. Not that, you know, it's not great talent level competition, because there is, you know, UW-Milwaukee's produced a lot of great athletes. It's just, you know, like I said, it feels like it was 20 years ago, but it was about, you know, 7 years ago. And now that I look back, it's just funny how anxious I was to step onto that field for the first time.
And you look back, okay, that first collegiate season, you did crack the starting lineup by about mid-April, and then you eventually became the starter from there on out, and we'll talk as we go along, but you never really exited the starting lineup thereafter in your collegiate career. But, okay, what was that mindset? You get the opportunity to find your way into the lineup mid-April. All of a sudden, you're finding ways on base. You hit safely in your first 5 starts, 10 of your first 11. Did you look at it as an opportunity there to make a case for yourself for more playing time?
Yeah, you know, it's. I remember Duffy telling me early in the season, he said, and this is one quote that, you know, I still remember to this day, he said, it is my job to find a replacement for you. It is your job to make sure that there's no one better. And so I remember hearing that my freshman year, thinking like, okay, he found me. I'm trying to go in and replace somebody's job in the infield or maybe even the outfield. Like I said, I didn't play much outfield in college, but, you know, anywhere that they needed me, I knew it wasn't going to be behind the plate, because that would have been a little bit of a disaster, but in the infield or the outfield. And then when I started getting in the lineup, you know, I cracked the lineup, like you said, probably, I don't even know, the first time I was consistently in the lineup, I believe it was at Oakland, it was a little bit later in the season, but it was, I understood that there were some injuries that happened, that there was some shortage of guys, but I thought, if I'm taking this opportunity, I got to run with it, because I know not only does this try to secure my spot for this year, I know next year when there's JUCO guys that come in, or maybe there's freshmen that come in at the same talent level that I had, maybe better. I knew that they're going to be trying to take my spot as well. And so it wasn't even so much from a standpoint of me thinking like, you know, how can I stay in the lineup here? It's like, how can I secure my spot for my career going forward? And so, like I said, it's talent will only take you so far, but I knew that, you know, if I'm grinding on the field during the game, for the game, and just putting in the right work ethic, I know that that's going to lead to success.
That freshman year, you played 30 games, you made 23 starts, and you talk about a roller coaster of emotions. You go from coming off the bench to now finding your way into the starting lineup. You were named second team All-Horizon League, part of the All-Freshman team as well. Was there then a different mindset going into year number two, coming off the duration you had that first year?
Yeah, you know, I think the mindset always shifts, you know, just with how competitive I am as a person. The mindset and goals always shift towards the current status that I'm in. So, you know, freshman year, that mindset was, you know, let's crack the lineup, let's get some playing time. Like I said, now my sophomore, I'm thinking like, okay, let's get legitimate. Like, I want to be an everyday starter. I want to play every game this year. And that was a big thing, too, that I pride myself on. I had a very good, you know, just overall care program for my body when it comes to mobility and you know, muscle activation and just, you know, overall recovery. So I knew that, you know, your best ability is availability. So I needed to make sure that I was staying healthy for all, you know, 54 games or whatever it was that year. So my big goal going into sophomore year was to start every single game of the season. And then, like I said, I was never, I'm a stats guy because of, you know, my background with math, but I never liked to, you know, have my goals revolve around stats, because I knew that you're just setting yourself up for failure that way. So it was one of those things that I like to take care of what I could take care of, all the controllables, you know, off the field. And then I knew that the preparation and work ethic that I put in the off season and in the fall and the winter, and then even in the spring leading up to the season, was going to best prepare me for the results. And then when I go on the field, it's trusting your work, trusting your preparation, and letting the results take care of itself.
You know, prior to that 2018 season, also even prior to the 2019 campaign, you spent the summertime in the Northwoods League, which prides itself in being a minor league internship, if you will. You played for the Eau Claire Express, the Madison Mallards. You played every day, the grind of a baseball summer. How did those experiences prepare you for the collegiate season?
Yeah, there's, I mean, looking back now, there's no experience like the Northwoods League that prepares you for professional baseball, as well as, you know, it almost oversteps the boundaries of college baseball, because you're playing more games and less days. You're at the field for a lot longer than you need to. The only thing that's a little bit different is obviously it's guys from all around the country rather than guys at your university. So I really enjoyed my time with Eau Claire. You know, Dale brought me in, obviously the connection with Gary there, and he gave me a chance to play in 2017. Mm-hmm. Towards the latter half of the season. I started off in the Midwest League and just outside, a suburb outside of Chicago. So it was great baseball. You know, I remember thinking, going from that Midwest League up to the Northwoods League, it was almost like a promotion. I was like, all right, I'm playing in a pretty premier, you know, summer collegiate baseball league. So I knew that there's, like I said, there's opportunity in every chance that you get. And so when I got up there, it was, for me, it was more so picking the brains of, you know, old guys from different universities, SEC, ACC programs from around the country, just trying to understand, you know, how their mindset has developed over the years of playing college baseball. And then, you know, you get there and, like I said, it was a pretty anxious time for me, you know, just completely getting thrown into a new league with guys you've never met before and really only have one true connection. But, you know, that's the beauty of baseball. You make connections very quickly and everybody's going through it together.
So 2018, your second season with the Panthers, did you feel like, and again, you were a second team All-Horizon League honoree, a repeat with that accolade, did you feel like your game really took off that season? Obviously, look at numbers, and you're among the who's who in hits, RBIs, stolen bases on top of your defense, and you found ways on base, it seemed like, almost every game.
Yeah, it was, I think every year going from, you know, 17 to 18, 18 to 19, and then even going into my professional career, there's one big thing that always improved year after year. You know, you look at from 17 to 18, it was more about, you know, I started to actually pick up some speed on the base pass, which allowed me to, you know, stretch singles into a little bit of doubles or maybe to take some extra bases or just, you know, leg out some infield singles. And I've never been, I've never been a top, like, a very fast guy in my life. And that was one thing that I think as I started to get more comfortable with my body and I started playing the middle infield a little bit more, the agility started to come and, you know, just the sprint speed started to increase a little bit. And so from 17 to 18, I think that started to pick up. And then, you know, 18 and 19, the biggest thing for me was my power. I started, you know, hitting balls a lot harder, a lot further. I started putting up a lot of extra base hit numbers. And, you know, even this summer, I'm sure we'll talk about it in Madison, I started to surprise myself with some BP rounds I was taking.
Speaking of power, you know, February 18th, 2018, you hit your first collegiate home run against Canisius. Do you remember much about that long ball?
Yeah, I do, actually. I remember it really well. I think that was the first home run that we hit that year as a team. And I was like, man, if I could put all my money in my bank account on one person to hit it, I'm telling you, I'm not putting it on, and it was me. So I do remember connecting with it. I remember when I was going over the fence and running on the bases, I'm thinking, like, damn, I'm like, I can do this. Like, you know, you obviously have to hit for power in college in order to secure your spot in the lineup. And I remember thinking, like, all right, if I can do this, you know, down in Florida where the humidity is at an all-time high, I think there's a chance I can do it. Obviously, up in the Midwest when it starts to get a little bit cooler up there. But, yeah, that was almost a little bit of a shock for me. You know, when I hit that around the bases, that was, you know, almost like an epiphany where I'm like, okay, and being a contact guy my whole life, I probably hit, you know, one to two high school home runs, maybe a couple in the summer as well. But, like, you know, hitting one in college as a sophomore, I'm starting to think, you know, everything's starting to connect together. You know, the training, the weight room, obviously the bat speed stuff that I was doing, and then also just, like, you know, tuning in my mechanics, everything started to come full circle there.
So from 2018, we mentioned you played in Madison, that wild atmosphere with 4,000 to 6,000 fans every home game with the Madison Mallards in the summer of 2018 to now 2019, okay, back with the Panthers. Was there pressure that next season, okay, the bar's been raised. You had a phenomenal 2018 campaign. Was there pressure? Did you put pressure on yourself for year number three?
Yeah, you know, it was a wild adventure in Madison. I remember when I first stepped into Madison and I started playing, I was just god awful for the first week or two. And I remember thinking, like, oh my God, I'm getting, you know, I'm on a full contract. There's the same, almost the exact same story that I had coming into UW-Milwaukee, where they had one spot left in Madison that they needed to fill for a utility guy. And I remember them calling our assistant coach, Drew Pierce, at the time. He's like, hey, we got a chance, but you got to get there tomorrow. This was right after our conference tournament. He's like, you got to go back, pack your stuff, and you got to get there tomorrow, and they'll take you on a full contract. I'm like, I'm in. I'll take it. So I took that. I show up in Madison, and I remember the first couple of weeks I was struggling. I think it was, like, right after the second week, I'm like, man, I don't think they can release me off a full contract, but I'm like, I got to get out of here. I'm playing once or twice a week. Like, I'm just wasting my time. I got to get an opportunity somewhere else. You know, and I remember thinking, like, man, this is a long season. There's 77 games. I'm like, just stick with it for a couple more weeks, see what happens. Started making my way into the lineup again, and I ended up having just an incredible season in Madison that I never really would have been. Two things that was my biggest knocks, and two things that people would, you know, put against me growing up was my speed and my power, and those are two things I flashed in the Northwoods League that year. Was, you know, I think 21 or 23 stolen bases that year, 7 or 8 home runs, and And like I said, I was just hitting balls in BP that everybody was like, man, how is this scrawny buck 80 kid putting these balls this far? And so I think, just to kind of give you a little more background story, I think as that season progressed and I got named to the All-Star team, I go to the All-Star game in Kalamazoo and compete in the home run derby there. I hit the furthest ball in the home run derby, and I remember there being like 40 to 50 scouts. And that, I remember at that moment, I'm sitting there in the dugout with guys from all around the league, and I was like, holy crap, I'm like, this is a legitimate opportunity that I have a chance to play professional baseball. And up until that point, I never truly believed that I was a professional, that I could be a professional baseball player. And so as that All-Star game went on, you know, I kept hitting well throughout that year, and I got invited to the Major League Dream Showcase, and there was probably 60 to 70 scouts in attendance. And I remember a guy by the name of Joe Boyle from Notre Dame, his fastball sitting 100 to 102. Everybody was terrified. I get in the box, and I ripped a single off a slider to left field. You know, even after that game, I started getting calls from a couple of agencies like, hey, we'd love to represent you in the draft. Hey, we're interested in working with you. And I remember it was one of those things, I'm getting these calls and I'm like, man, I have no idea what to say. I'm like, I have no idea what to do. This is a foreign process for me. So, you know, falling back on the guy that I always went to, that, you know, when I had questions about this, I text Dalton. I go, dude, I have no idea what's going on. Like, I have no idea what to do. And he's like, hey, let me hook you up with, you know, my agent, and you can just kind of have a conversation with him and see what he wanted to do. And then he actually ended up representing me in the draft. But yeah, that was a wild adventure. Pretty much, you know, let's go to Madison just to enjoy summer baseball. To like, all right, I have a chance of playing. I'm getting drafted this next year.
And again, your stack only increased after the season you had with Milwaukee in 2019, a first team All Horizon League honoree, hit .335. Take us through now. Okay, the 2019 season comes to a close. Here comes the draft. You get drafted in the 13th round by the Toronto Blue Jays. Take us through the whole process, that night, that experience, and then the whole decision-making that came after of, do you start your pro career or do you come back and play one more collegiate season?
Yeah. So after the 19 season came to an end, which was just a terrible way to end our season, I remember we're in Wright State and Colin Kreider hit an absolute missile. This guy made a great play off the wall. And I just remember thinking, like, that was probably the best season that I've had as a team with any team that I've played for in 2019. I think it was one of the best seasons that UW-Milwaukee's put together in its entire baseball career. And so I remember that season ending, and I had an offer to obviously go back to Madison on a full contract. And I remember texting our manager. I was like, hey, there's a really good chance I'm getting drafted here. So I'm going to have to decline the offer, the contract. And he's like, totally understandable. And me and Donnie have a great relationship still to this day. And so he was super pumped for me. But yeah, the draft process, I was getting calls and filling out questionnaires for probably months leading up to that process, like anybody else was. And then, you know, the actual first day, I was like, there's no way I'm getting drafted in the first two rounds. So the first day, I'm just kind of watching, you know, seeing what teams are doing, seeing how, you know, how they're laying their picks out. And I knew going into day two, which was rounds 3 through 10, I'm like, I knew that, you know, the teams that were the most interested were the White Sox, the Phillies, the Blue Jays, and the Cubs. So the guys that were kind of all in my corner, you know, just shooting my agent the most texts and just reaching out to me the most. And so day two goes by, and I'm getting a couple calls here and there, like, hey, would you take this in the 7th? Hey, would you take this in the 8th? Like, hey, I think we're going with a college arm here. Like, we might have a little bit of money left over. And I'm thinking, like, all right, there's a chance for me to go. And I get a call in the 8th from the Phillies, and they're like, hey, we're pretty close to locking you in. You know, would you take this? And I'm like, oh, my God, absolutely. And so I was pretty dead set on, you know, being a Philly, and that was – their area scout, his name was Justin, actually. Him and I had a really good relationship, and he fought for me. He was actually in the draft room, and he was a guy that was always trying to, you know, push my name out there. And then they ended up not taking me. Day two goes by, I'm not drafted, and I remember being, you know, super discouraged. I'm like, man, do I really want to play pro ball still? And then I think it was Sunday, it was day three, and I wake up in my bed, and I'm somebody's calling me from a number that I have no idea who it is. So I'm like half awake, and it was like 7:30 in the morning. Like, it was pretty early for day three. And obviously those scouts are getting all their paperwork and they're working on everything. And I get a call from a White Sox scout saying, like, hey, are you still interested in going on day three? Like, we'd love to take you. And I'm like, yeah, absolutely. So I hang up, I check my phone, and I have like 7 or 8 text messages from a bunch of different area scouts. You still interested? You still interested? And I'm like, okay. And I'm like, this makes it a lot more, you know, legitimate opportunity and a serious chance that I'm going to go pretty early on day three. And I'm like, if I have to sit around and watch all of day three, like I did day two, to not hear my name, like, it's going to be pretty discouraging. So, you know, I'm sitting there with my girlfriend at the time, and then my mom, my stepdad, a couple of my buddies that I lived with as well, Matt Young and Jack Cavanaugh. You know, round 11 goes by, round 12 goes by, and my agent calls me at the beginning of round 13. He goes, hey, we just got a really quick phone call from the Blue Jays, you know, asking if they would take what our number was, and I told him, yeah, and he said, okay, like, there's a good chance. And then, you know, about a couple picks before the Blue Jays, my agent texts me, he goes, really good chance here, like, wishing you the best. I'm like, damn, there's a legit opportunity. And I remember day three, like, you just had the, it's like the telecast or whatever it is. It was rolling, and you couldn't actually see the names of guys that were coming up. It just heard, like, you know, round 13, Blue Jays select player ID, whatever. And I remember, like, sitting on the couch kind of looking at it and just, like, my heart's racing. And I saw my mom, like, put her phone up to record me. And I'm like, all right, they probably found out, like, online that my name was getting picked. And so, you know, I got a call from them. And it was an awesome, you know, it was a very surreal experience. I remember, you know, my mom and my stepdad, you know, shedding tears. And I think that's when everything just kind of, like, came back, and the experience of, you know, man, I grinded my way just to play Division I baseball. I grinded my way just to play in the Northwoods League. And now here I am, you know, getting a chance to play professional baseball and work my way up to the big. So it was a really, really cool opportunity.
And you start right away with Vancouver. And you look throughout your 3-4 years now of Pro Bowl, obviously COVID in there, taken away 2020. But Vancouver, Florida, AAA with Buffalo, New Hampshire, Vancouver, back to New Hampshire. What are the challenges of just, you know, the back and forth, the up and down, different teams, looking over your shoulder, looking forward, of just, you know, taking in all that comes with the pressure of playing pro ball?
Yeah, I mean, the number one thing I've learned is you got to be comfortable living out of a suitcase, because you do that for about 4 or 5 months. So, and the other big thing is, you know, it's cliche, but you got to have the right support system. You know, you got to be surrounded by people that are willing, you know, to give you the support of, you know, like last year I went 2 months in Vancouver, 2 months in New Hampshire, 2 months in Buffalo. Like, so obviously I know everybody in the organization, but it's a new team that you're playing with every 2 months last year, 3 months. And so I understood that you got to be comfortable being uncomfortable, because you're always going to be in situations. I mean, like, for instance, you know, last year I was predominantly in the corner infield, corner outfield, and I knew, you know, my chances and my opportunity were there. And then I go up to AAA, and they're like, hey, we're going to be playing shortstop a couple times. I'm like, all right, the second highest stage in baseball, I'm going to be playing a position that I haven't played in 5 months. I'm like, well, you better, you know, either be comfortable or get out of it. So I knew that I needed to just get reps there. And obviously just, I knew that, you know, my best asset is always going to be versatility. I'm going to be able, if I can hit, then I can play, you know, 8 to 9 positions, you know, slightly above average, I know that I'm going to have a chance.
To wrap it all up right now, you're in AA with the New Hampshire Fisher Cats of the Eastern League. How's the season going?
It's been going really well. You know, we started pretty hot, cooled off a little bit after our series with Altoona, and then we're starting to pick it up again. But, you know, personally for me, it's the same thing. I play predominantly first, left and right so far this year. And, you know, we got our schedule going into this week, and they're like, hey, Schmuck, we got infield reps at shortstop tomorrow. So I have today off, obviously, but we're getting reps in the infield to get ready for this series, because we had one of our guys head up to AAA. And so I knew that there's opportunity for me to play in shortstop. So it's the same thing, you know, pretty much as it was last year, where you're still offensively driven because you know that's always going to take the priority. But for me, I like to pride myself on my defense as well. So I know that, you know, just as much time as I dedicate to myself, you know, in the cages, on the field, in BP, it's got to be the exact same from a defensive side too.
Well, Trevor, thanks a lot for your time. Continued success. And know that back here in Milwaukee, we're cheering for you.
Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate the support, guys.
That's Trevor Schwecke, and thank you for joining us for this month's edition of the Pounce Cast.